You know, well, let me just read something here. I'm going to read yesterday and today. I like reading, sometimes reading, well, I read every day, something from Faith Food and Health Food. But let me just read yesterday's entry. It said, all that God has is yours. And it's and this is from the Kenneth Hagin Ministry, Health Food. It says, are the resources of God yours? Yes. That being true, you need to find out what he has. When you find out what he has, you know what belongs to you, and you will be closer to enjoying the blessings of God. Does he have forgiveness? Yes. That's yours. Does he have healing? Yes. And it is yours too. Does he have poverty or wealth? Wealth. Is he a poor God or a rich God? He's rich. What does he have? Does he have grace? Yes. Then those things are yours. All that God has is yours. Who is to blame if you don't have it? Him? No. He has already told you that it is yours. How are you going to get it? How are you going to have it in reality? By acting on what he said. In other words, by acting like it's yours. The Bible says that we are heirs of God and joint heirs or equal heirs with Jesus Christ. Romans 8:17. Some people say Jesus has it all. And God has it all, but we're just left without anything. Well, we'll have it after a while when we get to heaven. The Bible didn't say that we're going to be heirs of God. The Bible says that we are, and all that God has is ours now. Amen. So one of the things, you know, in just thinking, I was sharing something this morning during prayer time, and I thought it was significant. Just before we get into the lesson, let me just turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And starting in verse 11, it talks about different offices in the church, spiritual offices. It talks about apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and pastors and teachers for what? The perfecting, or you could say maturing, of the saints for the work of the ministry for what? The edifying of the body of Christ. So if the body of Christ is sick, would that be edifying? No, I don't think so. So this is saying here for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ. Verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect, or you could say mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro. That can also be in this area here, just in doctrine of healing, instead of being tossed to and fro. Well, is it his will? I'm not sure. Maybe it is. No, we're not to be tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. From whom, this is what I was looking at here, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and what? Compacted by that which what? Every joint supplieth. Right there. According to the effectual working of the measure of every part maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So we all, if you are named by the name of Christ, if you've accepted him as your Savior, then you are in the body of Christ. And this means here, then, if we're part of the body, then every joint, every member supplieth something. So that's why when we come to church and we spend time fellowshipping, yes, we enjoy that, but it's to get something that we can turn around and go out and do what? Supply something to someone who's in a need. Every joint supplieth. And that's why I say, you know, when people say, well, you know, God doesn't use me and I don't know what he's doing, and, you know, they just whine. Well, I don't know. I'm just struggling through life. That's why we spend so much time trying to get you to see who you are in Christ so you can take your rightful place and understand that I've got a job to do. I've got something to supply. I'm not here just to get. I'm here to receive so I can go help somebody. Supply to help build up the body of Christ. And so that's why it's important that, you know, we take time to learn and to learn something from the knowledge of God. And also remember this, you know, when it comes to healing, you know, I was sharing this in line with prayer, but faith, Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and he is what? A rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So we have to, in order to receive something from God, 1 John 5:14 says, and this is what? The confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, well, that's why we spend time in the book to try to find out what his will is. If we see something in the Word of God and we're convinced that it's God's will to heal me, then when I go and ask him something and I'm in a situation where I want to draw upon that which is already given to me, I have confidence that it's, first of all, it's his will. And it says, if I have confidence that it's his will, what does it say? He hears me. He hears me. And if I know that he hears me whatever I ask, what does it say? I know I have it. Well, this is what I was sharing this morning. If you're frustrated about anything, I don't care what it is, if you're frustrated, you're not in faith. If you're frustrated about anything, you're not in faith. If you're frustrated over money, or you're frustrated over some little, you stubbed your toe, you're frustrated over that. You know, I'm kidding, but you understand what I mean. Something going on in your body and you're frustrated, you're not confident. You're not sure that I've drawn upon the grace of God, because what does the scripture also say? It says faith enters into rest. So if I'm at rest, I'm not frustrated. If I'm at rest, I'm not anxious about something. I'm not weighed down with this on my mind. How come? I don't see it. What's going on? How come this isn't changing? Faith says, I've got it. Faith says, I got it. I have it right now. I mean, think about it. If your boss said to you, I'm giving you a $10,000 raise, you'd be ha ha, hoo hoo, and you'd be telling everybody. Let me ask this question. Would you be frustrated or anxious about, well, I don't know, maybe, no, you already got the money spent. You've already booked the trip. You've already got something where you're spending the money. You're not anxious. You're not frustrated. You're not thinking about, gee, you know, I know he said that, but, you know, I don't know. Maybe, no. That's just natural faith that you believe the word of a boss or a company to give you a raise. So when God said, I sent my word and healed you and delivered you from your destructions, what about that? Amen. Himself took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses, and with his stripes I have been healed. Amen. What about that? My son, attend unto my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. What about that? So we've got enough scripture and on and on and on that I'm supposed to do what? Receive it by faith and act as if it's already done. Act as if. That doesn't mean, you know, so often when we're spending time talking about, even in these past lessons about peace, and talking about the fact that himself took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. He was a man acquainted with pain and sickness. He bore my griefs and carried my sorrows. And so when we look at that and we see, okay, that's nice, sometimes we think, but it's not changing. That's not faith. We're to do what? Walk by faith. Faith is what? Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of something hoped for, the evidence. My faith is the evidence of something not seen. If I have it, then I'm looking for it. If I said to you, I'm going to go do something, you're saying, yeah. You're looking for me to do something for you. Or if I said, I'm going to give you something, you're looking for me to do that. So your faith is expecting something, and it's the same thing where faith in God is concerned. This doesn't mean, you know, when we talk about peace and we're talking about something that's, you know, somebody's experiencing depression or they're experiencing anxiety or all the obsessions and different things. It doesn't mean, you know, if you ever talk to someone, even Brother Hagin talked about it, when he was delivered from these incurable diseases, it didn't mean that those things didn't try to come back on him again. He just knew who he was. He just knew that he'd been delivered from it. He just said, oh, no, you can't come back here in the name of Jesus. So that doesn't mean that if pressure comes upon me or sickness or anxiety or fear, that those aren't tangible and real. Yeah, they are. But that doesn't mean that it's in me. It's trying to come upon me and I feel it. And it's there, it's real, it's tangible, but I know I'm redeemed. It's no longer I that liveth, Galatians 2:20, but Christ who lives in me. Now I can stand up and say, oh, no, no, he bought my freedom with his shed blood. Now you leave me. Fear, leave me. Anxiety, leave me. Pressure, leave me in the name of Jesus. See? And then I have a right. I'm not doing something, you know, it's like if you were a person and flashed a police badge and you didn't have the right to, they lock you up, right? So I have a right. I've been commissioned as a person in the body of Christ. It's no longer I that liveth, but who? Christ that liveth in me. So I've been redeemed. I've been commissioned by God to use his name. I've been seated with him in heavenly places in Christ. So I have a right to use his name. I have a right to confront, or another way to put it, some translations say, we're enforcing something that Jesus has already purchased for us. That's all we're really doing. We're saying, oh, no, no, you can't come here. You can't come here on this body. No. I've been redeemed. I've been sealed by his blood. You're not welcome here. See? And so, Let's get to today's lesson. I'm trying. Trying to get over there. Anyways, sometimes some things just get, you know, you meditate on it, it gets real to you. Right? You know, and it's good to get it down in your heart so it is real, because I can tell you what happens is that, you know, it's like I heard somebody using this example. You know, sometimes we say, oh, yeah, I know faith. You know, knowledge is not faith. Knowledge of faith is not faith. Faith is faith. And so some of us, you know, I've heard some ministers say, I taught faith for decades, and some areas I realized I wasn't in faith. See? So just because you know about faith doesn't mean that you're in faith. See, the scripture also says in Romans, God dealt to every man or gave to every man a measure of faith. I can give you something, but you still got to receive it. Doesn't necessarily mean he gave it, but doesn't necessarily mean people took it. And even if you did receive it, what does it say? Faith without a corresponding action is dead. So faith, just because you know about faith, doesn't mean you are operating in faith. Because faith is what? Faith is not frustrated. Faith is confident that I have this. See? Faith is not just talking about faith. People come and they come to church for 20 years and say, yeah, I know that. I'm in faith. Yeah, well, let's just see what happens when trials and tribulations come. And let's see how you're operating in faith. Because it's one thing to talk about it, but then when life throws you a curveball, let's see how you're operating in faith. See, there's a whole different story. You know, I heard this minister say, you know, well, I don't have to use that example, but any example, you can read book knowledge. You know, how many, you know, you read about how to drive a car, but then when you got in the car and you started driving, it wasn't a time to look at the book. It's too late. See? So it's one thing where we talk about faith, we meditate upon faith, and faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. But then in life, how are we operating in faith? Are we convinced of something that we believe? That really is faith. I'm convinced of something that I believe. Right? I'm convinced of my healing, regardless of how I feel. He purchased my salvation. He purchased my healing. That has nothing to do with my feelings. I should never gauge my salvation or my healing based on how I feel or what's going on in my body. See? But let's turn over to Exodus 15. Exodus chapter 15. See, I am convinced, and the more, you know, you learn and the more you observe and the more you see things and experience things, that God is leading us. He said he leads all of those who are his children. He leads us by his Spirit. Those that are the children of God are led by the Spirit of God in Romans 8. And I'm convinced that God will lead us so that if we're doing something we shouldn't be doing, that's why I'm always an advocate of speaking the word daily, regardless of your conditions. You keep speaking the word. God leads me. I know his voice. You make those affirmations. Whether you hear him or feel him or sense him, you say, no, no, the word says he does, so he does. And so what that does is it allows him, you open the door for him then to lead you. You open the door, you make yourself available and aware of him, and so that he can then lead you and say, oh, no, 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 go over here, do this. Go over here and do this. Make this confession. Make this, meditate in this scripture. He's leading you, see, which is just as important as us coming together and hearing the word. We need to have that kind of fellowship daily that we hear him and let him lead us. So Exodus 15 and verse 26, it says here, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, see, we're talking about letting him lead us, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. And most of the other translations, you know, the Common English Bible, NIV, New International, New Century, New Living, New King James, they all say, I am the Lord who heals you. And that's one of his redemptive names. That's one of his names, Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord that heals you. The message says, I am God, your healer. So if the Lord says, I am your healer, then what are we supposed to believe? He's my healer. Regardless of what I'm feeling, if he says I am, then he is. And also, just as an aside, you know, some people get, you know, some people, and I've had discussions, and I really don't, I've had extended discussions with people on this, and you know, they see what they see and they want to believe what they believe, but you try to unravel their unbelief or their thinking with the Word of God. And sometimes, you know, the translators said, you know, the way they translated this, it's more in the causative sense where it's saying God put these diseases upon the Egyptians, and it's more not causative, it's permissive. It's the permissive sense, meaning he allowed it. He didn't cause it. Does everybody understand that? And so people just go, oh, no, but it's right there in the Word. I said, no, I understand that, but we interpret Scripture with other Scripture. Let's look at other Scripture, and let's see if your theory holds up. And usually they're stuck, right? And you just do the best you can. But just think about, I'll give you a few scriptures to kind of, let's look at that theory and see if that just holds up. It says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. But look at James 1:13. It says, James in the New Testament, chapter 1 and verse 13, it says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. See? For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. So God cannot be tempted with evil, nor does he tempt anyone with evil. The Bible, the Common English Bible says, God is not tempted by any form of evil. That's a little plainer. He's not tempted by any form of evil, nor does he tempt anyone. The Bible in basic English says, for it is not possible for God to be tested by evil. And he himself puts no man to such a test. So some people, you know, you hear him say, well, you know, I'm just being, God's testing me with this sickness. Nope, sorry. Wrong. God is not tested by any form of evil, nor does he test anyone with evil. And if you look up that word evil, it refers to effects. It says either something depraved or injurious, something that injures. It says something bad, evil, ill, or wicked. So God is not putting something evil upon us in the form of, in this case, sickness or disease. Or the other side, what we've been teaching on Sunday, is pressure, anxiety. He's not putting that on us. It's either self-imposed, we've put it on ourselves by just taking on the anxiety, or it's something spiritual. But God didn't put it on us. See, he redeemed us with his blood. Think about this scripture here. You can go over to Acts 10:38, talking about something that's evil or something that's oppressive. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with what? With the Holy Ghost, with the anointing, who went about doing good and doing what? Doing good and healing all those who were what? Oppressed of the devil. He's the one that's putting the junk on people. He's the one that's putting the oppressive things on people. And Jesus went about doing what? Good. Now, if he did it then, Hebrews 13:8, how Jesus said, Jesus Christ, what? The same yesterday. If he did it then, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if he healed and delivered people who were oppressed then, he's doing it today. He's doing it today. Amen. Glory to God. That's exciting news to me. Let's turn over to Psalm 103. You know, when pain comes and sickness comes and trouble comes to our body, your mind will just go, it'll just start going at you and digging at you. Isn't it? This is bad. This is this. But you've got to, God doesn't communicate with our flesh. He doesn't communicate with our mind. He communicates with our hearts and our spirit. That's where faith comes from. So we need to get these things down in our hearts so that when things come, that if they come, I'll just say it that way, that we have a sure foundation. Psalm 103, let's look at these first three verses. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. See, this is a wonderful thing. We're not to forget all his benefits. Look at verse 3. Who forgiveth all thine what? Iniquities, or you could say sins, and what? Who healeth some of thy diseases. All. He said all thy iniquities and all thy sins, all thy diseases. So let me ask the question. Is he still today the forgiver of sin and sickness? Well, we know that. We just read it, Hebrews 13:8. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's still the forgiver. So if he's the forgiver of all our sins, just think about this from a logical standpoint. If he's the forgiver of all of our sins, when did he stop being the healer of all of our diseases? When did that happen? He didn't. See? So here's some questions. You know, sometimes you just think about this. Why would you believe without exception? I'm talking about without exception. Why would you believe that without exception that he forgives all of our sins, but we have exceptions or reservations when it comes to his will healing all our diseases? Why can we say without exception, oh no, he'll heal all our sins? But you know, you don't know about that. Maybe it's not. Why you have reservations? Why do you have exceptions? concerning his healing. He said, what did he say? Who healeth all thine iniquities and healeth all thy diseases. Well, we know why, because church tradition and church teaching for centuries has taught that it is his will to heal, to forgive sin. But when it comes to the area of healing, there's exceptions, there's reservations. And church tradition, when I say tradition, and church teaching has taught that for centuries. It's changing. But what has happened? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the level of faith in the church is based on what it's been taught. And even, let's just take us. We've come out of different settings, various type of church settings. And maybe we said, well, you know, I used to believe like that, but I don't now. Okay, that's good. But when the heat's on, some of that unbelief may crop up and may stir up, and you've got to constantly renew your mind to the word of God. Because when we say faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God, that's true, but there may be some unbelief that you're not aware of that won't surface and show itself until there's some real pressure. And then you go, well, you know, it isn't changing. Maybe I'm going through this test for a reason. No. 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 Then that means our faith needs to be strengthened some more. We need to have confidence. You know, when you have confidence for something, let me ask you just a simple question. If I said to you, what's your name? And you gave me your name and I said, you sure? You sure about that? Maybe it's not your name. You say, what? I just told you my name. What's wrong with you? You would get on my case if I questioned you whether that's your name or not. You'd look at me like I got something wrong with me. Like, can you understand English? I just told you what my name is. And if I keep pressing, well, you sure? You sure? You'd probably just do what? Walk away. Say, I'm not even going to talk to that person. There's something wrong with them. Right? And so why do we don't do that when we have something come, we're that convinced of the word of God? Somebody comes and goes, well, you know, look, I know what the word says, and I'm convinced of it, and it's working in my life. See? Now, I will say this. When it comes to the scriptures, we place our trust upon the word of God. He sent his word and healed me and delivered me from all my destructions. But as much as we have confidence in the word, we also still need to be led by the Spirit of God. We can't override his leading us with scripture. You understand what I'm saying by that? I don't mean it in a negative way, but the word and the spirit will always agree. But if I'm impressed to stand upon the word of God, and the word and the spirit of God will say something to me, do this. I can't say, oh yes, but I've got this scripture. He knows more than you do. He knows more than you do. Follow his directions. Follow his directions. Doesn't mean we ignore the word, but follow his directions. So we can see here that we need to have our minds renewed. So that what? What does the scripture say? We have our minds transformed that we may what? Prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What does that mean? We need to constantly have our minds renewed with his word so we can prove healing. We can prove it. Turn over to Luke chapter 5 and we talk about proving healing. Jesus had a way of doing that, didn't he? Luke chapter 5. Let's look at this scripture. Luke chapter 5. And it ties in together a little bit with Psalm 103. But look at Luke 5, verse 20. starting in verse 20. And this is the account of the crippled man or the man with palsy that was let down through the roof. But starting in verse 20, it says, "And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee." And it's interesting, right? He comes for healing and he's saying, "Your sins are forgiven." So he had a purpose here. And the scribes and the Pharisees, verse 21, and the scribes and Pharisees began to do what? To reason, saying, "Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But when Jesus, verse 22, "But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, What reason ye, or why reason ye in your hearts? Whether is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or say, Rise up and walk." Isn't this interesting? He connects the forgiveness of sin, just like we were looking at Psalm 103, verse 3, "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities and healeth all thy diseases." The psalmist connected what? Forgiveness of sin and healing. See, so did Jesus here. He connects forgiveness of sin and rising up and walk or being healed. So he's saying, he didn't say which one's harder. He said which one's easier. And so, but that is in verse 24, "But that you may know that the Son of Man hath" what? "Power upon earth to forgive sins." He said unto the sick of the palsy, "I say unto thee, arise and take up thy couch and go into thine house." And what happened? "And immediately he rose up before them and took up that whereon he lay, and he departed to his own house," doing what? "Glorifying God." So you can see here, he connected the two. But also think about this just for a moment. He said, which one's easier? So he said, "I'll prove to you." He used healing of his physical body as a means to prove to them that he forgave sin. Because he said, which one's easier? To forgive sin or to heal the body? And so what did he do? Look what he said. He said, verse 24, "But that you may know." See? He's saying, which one's easier, forgive sin or heal the body? So that you're going to know, he said, rise up and walk. So he was showing them, I'll show you that I forgave sins, rise up and walk. Now think about this for a moment. If he used healing as a proof that he forgave sins, and just think about it from a I call it analytical point. How do we know that the forgiveness of sin is real? How do we know that? He healed the man. If the Lord can't heal us, then how do we know he can forgive us? So you just think about it from that standpoint. If he can't heal us of a physical disease, and I'm going and saying, well, you know, I go to the Lord in 1 John 1:9, "If I confess my sin, he's faithful to forgive me and cleanse me of all unrighteousness." If I have a question about his ability to heal me, then how do I know he'll forgive me? Because he's connected the two together throughout Jesus' ministry. He forgave and he healed. He did both. And that's what he said to these scribes and Pharisees. "But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins." He said, so here's how you're going to know I have the power to forgive sins. He said, "I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed and walk." He said, that's how you're going to know this man just got up off his bed. So he proved by healing the man as a demonstration to them that he forgave sin. See? So we can see here, and so here's the question that I would ask. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he forgives sin today, then that means he heals today. If he did it then, he does it today, and he does it in the future. If he forgave me my sins, then he heals my body. Right? Amen. Who forgiveth, Psalm 103, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who does what? Healeth all thy diseases. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now let's turn over to Isaiah 53. We've been spending some time here lately. Verses 3 through 5, Isaiah chapter 53. And verses 3 through 5. See, sometimes, and I'm just looking at this here, when you look at this, these verses of Scripture, When he talks about when Jesus connects iniquities in Psalms, it says, who healeth all thy, or who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. He connects sin with sickness. We can see that right here in these verses of Scripture here, verses 3 through 5. Starting in verse 3, it says, he is what? Despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne, not going to, he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was what? Wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. See, we're talking about sin. He's connecting this subject of sin and sickness. And it says here, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And this, of course, is looking towards the cross. And 1 Peter 2:24 is looking back when it says, by his stripes we have been healed. That's looking back at the cross. But these words, sorrows and grief, sorrows actually means pain physically, but it also means pain mentally. It means anxiety, stress, sorrows. So he took that. That's why we would spend that lesson saying, Jesus redeemed my emotions. I don't have to be uncontrolled. I don't have, you know, when somebody can't control their emotions, they're unstable. You know, we might not want to think that way, but if you can't control your emotions, you're not a stable person. You're unstable. Now, maybe you're not unstable in a broad sense, but in that moment, in that moment, you didn't control your emotions. You were unstable. And Jesus bore that in my life. He took my emotions. When I say he took that, he bore that which causes me, anything that causes me to be anxious, anything that causes me to be angry, anything that causes me to be full of anxiety and pressure and unsettled, he bore that. He bore it. Because the scripture says it's no longer I that live, but Christ that liveth in me. So if he lives in me, somebody might say, boy, that sure don't look like Christ. Right? So we have some area, we need to grow in some areas, right? We need to grow in this grace that's been provided, right? So he bore, when we talk about emotions, he bore every negative emotion for us. He bore the cause. He bore every cause that's causing us to have a negative emotion. He bore that. And he bore every sickness and disease. He bore the cause of it. Everything that causes us to be sick and diseased, he bore that. He bore the cause of it. He became, what does the scripture say? In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, whose own self, it says here, for he hath made him, what? To be sin, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made him to be sin, who knew no sin. So he took and bore, that's why when it talks about, I don't think in our natural mind we really grasp the magnitude or the scope of what he bore. He bore every sickness, every disease. He became sin for us, right? And we know sin is the cause of all of that. Sin causes all of these things, these negatives in our life. So the sickness and disease, he bore that. And the Amplified translation says, surely he hath borne our griefs, sicknesses, weaknesses, and distresses, and carried our sorrows and pains of punishment, yet we ignorantly considered him stricken, smitten, and afflicted of God as if with leprosy. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our guilt and iniquities. The chastisement needful to obtain peace and well-being for us was upon him. So anything that restricted or caused us to not walk in peace, he bore that. So we can see here, going back to Psalm, let's go over to Psalm 107 and look at some of these scriptures again. Psalm 107. Verse 20, he said, he sent his word and healed them, not going to heal them. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. In verse 21, oh, that men would praise the Lord for what? His goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. So one of the things as we kind of wrap up here, one of the things that we is important is that if I believe, see, going back to believing, if I believe his word, if I believe that what he said is so, then I need to act as if. What does that mean? That means if I believe that I am healed, then I'm going to say it. I know, you know, I think back, you know, years ago when I used to go to, when I first got saved back in the early 80s, mid 80s, I would go to a number of Kenneth Copeland meetings at that time, Kenneth Hagin meetings, still go to the Kenneth Hagin meetings, less where the Kenneth Copeland meetings are concerned, not for any reason, just that's not what I'm doing right now. But I remember Charles Capps at that time when he was alive and had really developed his faith and developed things, and he used to say he would get and use examples for us and show us how he applied the word of God in his life. And he said, you know, he used this one example. He said, you know, I like to hunt and I like to fish. And he said, whenever we went hunting, you know, I guess in that area, he liked to hunt. Some people do. And he said, we'd go into woods and inevitably I'd get poison ivy. And it would get all over my hands and arms and face and everything. And he said, At that time, he said, I began to just be exposed to the word of faith and the promises of God in the area of healing. And he said, I began to take that word and begin to apply it, begin to confess it. Now, he said, what he did, and this was a good example, he said, I went to the drugstore, like most of us, got some calamine lotion, slathered it all on my body, but at the same time, I'm confessing the word. I'm speaking the word. He redeemed me from all my diseases. And he would, you know, I have some of his professions. He would say, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Therefore, my body functions in the perfection that God created it to function in. I forbid any malfunction in my body. Every tissue and every organ of my body functions in the perfection that God made it to function. And I forbid any malfunction in my body in the name of Jesus. And whatever you want to profess, but you're professing something that's promised. And he said, it took about 6 months of me constantly professing the word of God. And he said, putting the calamine lotion on, whatever. But he would constantly profess the word. He said, I would now go into the woods and grab the tree and strip down the poison ivy like this with my hands, and it wouldn't bother me. Wouldn't affect me. Wouldn't touch me. What are we talking about? The word is life. What did Jesus say? He said, John 6:63, the Spirit quickeneth. Right? Why don't you go over there and look at it? Let's look at that scripture. John 6:63. John 6:63. Everybody there? It says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth or giveth life. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you are what? They are spirit and they are life. So if I continue to keep confessing the word and I get the word of God down in my spirit, it quickeneth this mortal body. It gives life to it. So sickness and disease gets pushed out. It the life of God rejects sickness and disease in my body, but it takes time. It doesn't mean you don't take medicine. It doesn't mean you don't do something in the meantime. Do that. Don't do something foolish. You're not at a level of faith to be there yet. Don't walk around with rash. I mean, that's silly, right? Put the calamine lotion on, but keep confessing the word. And you'll get to the place where it won't affect you. I remember the other time he said he liked to fish. And he said, you know, he's in the boat with a bunch of guys and they're fishing and he's on one side and they're all on the other side. And he's throwing, and he said, he's catching all the fish. He's pulling them in one after another. And they're getting upset. Like, we ain't catching nothing. And they said to him, can we switch sides? He said, sure, no problem. And he said, they got on the other side, and he said, the fish came over on his side. Because he said, I called the fish to my pole. I called them. So, you know, again, and then just more recent, you know, I remember a family that was here at this church for a number of years. I just use her as an example because I'm familiar with it. And they went to Rhema Bible Training Center, and so the family, a number of them, went to the school, to the Bible college, and then they go from 8:30, I believe, to 12:30. They got 4 hours, or 8 to 12:30, somewhere around there. But after that, they're free. People work, they go to work, and so they have prayer and healing school at 1 o'clock. So this young lady had an illness. She had type 2 diabetes, and she had to wear a pump. She had to constantly be pumped with insulin in her body. So it wasn't something where she took a pill or took a shot. She had to have a pump. So it was a little more on the serious side. And so She went to prayer and healing school when she was going to school for 2 years. She went every day, as many times as they had prayer. And I don't think they have it every day. I think it's three or four. How many days is it? Yeah, it's 3 days a week, right? Okay, so she went those 3 days. But the point was, she went every time they were there for the time she was in school for those 2 years. And so not too long ago, we were out there, and I was speaking to her dad, and I said, how's Jess doing? He said, oh, she's doing great. He said something significant. He said, she'd been going to prayer and healing school, and he said, her pancreas just started to work. They're working. She don't need the pump anymore. Pancreas don't just start working. The Spirit quickeneth. The Spirit quickeneth. My words are spirit and life. The more you get His word, the more you get His life in you, it will quicken dead parts. It will quicken parts that aren't working right. So that's why I say, do the things that you need to do. You need to have an insulin pump, wear the insulin pump. Insulin pumps don't heal you. The word heals you. The word will quicken a dead part. It'll restore, it'll strengthen, it'll heal a dead part. So don't get in despair. Don't say, well, you know, and the doctors, you know how the doctors do. If you don't do this, you're going to die. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He has the last word, not the doctor. So, yes, we respect doctors. We listen to them and follow them. But be led by the Spirit. And praise God. God is a good God. We could go on a little more, but let's unhook here because there's another class coming. Praise God. Let's just say this. I am healed. Christ has healed me. And the healing power of God is working in me, affecting a healing and a cure in my body. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Say those kind of things every day. Just get up, and whether you feel, you know, that's why I say don't consult your flesh. Your flesh is going to say, we don't want to do that. I don't feel like saying that today. I don't care whether you do or not. What does the scripture say in Romans 8:6? To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. We keep saying the word, whether I think I want to say it or not, whether I want to say it or not, keep speaking the word, and the word will quicken these mortal bodies. Amen. We need to be a reflection, you know, like when Jesus said, you want to see whether I have the power to forgive sins? Watch this man get up. We need to be the ones that reflect long life without sickness and disease. And so as we keep feeding on the word, these things that have bothered us will drop off. They have to drop off. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God.